This is WMUK's West Southwest. I'm Gordon Evans. A new report shows a drop in the teen birth rate in Kalamazoo, Battle Creek, and statewide. Coming up, we'll hear from Alicia Guevara Warren of the Michigan League for Public Policy. But first, by the end of this year, it may be much clearer what will happen to the former Allied Paper landfill site in Kalamazoo. The Environmental Protection Agency has released a cleanup plan, and a public comment period will run through December 1st. The first of two community roundtable events is being held Thursday at the Washington Writers Academy on Portage Street. Gary Wager is executive director of the Kalamazoo River Cleanup Coalition. Gary Wager, thank you for being here.
Hi, Gordon. Thanks for having me this morning.
Let's take the big picture here. Where do things stand? We have a cleanup plan on the table, so where do we go from here?
Well, you know, the plan that is on the table is option 2D. On the feasibility study, and of course you recall the feasibility study is a list of options that the EPA is considering for cleanup action at the Allied site. 2D is very similar to a proposal put forth by the city of Kalamazoo. I think you may have seen that on the media. The city had some presentations about their proposal, but you know, this is federal government, EPA, right? So it can't be the city's plan, it has to be the EPA's plan. So I haven't found any real significant differences. Essentially, the EPA has adopted the proposal that the city put forth, which is a waste-in-place solution, and it makes the footprint a little smaller and frees up some land along the periphery, especially along Portage Creek, to make that available for redevelopment. And we're currently in the public comment period to see what folks think about that particular option.
Waste in place means that the PCB contamination will still be on the site, but as you say, it's kind of compacted into a smaller area.
Right. It's consolidate and cap, and that's essentially what the EPA has done in similar sites along the Kalamazoo River upstream, the A site, Willow Boulevard area. And so essentially what you have is consolidate all the material from the larger footprint that it now occupies from back in the days when paper waste was just taken out back and dumped on the ground. So consolidate the material into, and that's one of the sticking points for the new site, is it's going to make the elevation about 40 feet higher on the current site. So smaller footprint in terms of square footage on the ground, but a higher, taller pile that will essentially be the resting place for the contaminated PCB material forever.
But there is also supposed to be some way of monitoring this contamination to see that it is not, for instance, contaminating groundwater and that sort of thing?
Well, that's part of the cost of the waste-in-place solution, is to have water quality monitoring. Currently, there's an active system that where the groundwater that seeps through the material is treated, pumped and treated, fairly expensive, a couple $100,000 a year to operate that system. The system that's proposed for, if we go with 2D, that system doesn't require the pumping and treating of the water, so it reduces the costs. But the monitoring and the operation of this essentially toxic waste dump, if you will, or storage facility, that sounds better, is unending. You know, it's something that's, because of the half-life of PCBs being so long and really not going to go away ever. So it's a cost that's going to be pretty much in perpetuity.
I talked with you just a couple weeks back when this plan was first released by the EPA, and there's a couple things that you said at that time that I'd like to talk about a little bit more now. One of which was you mentioned the idea that perhaps this PCB contamination could be neutralized. Explain a little bit about how that process might work and who is saying that they might be able to do it.
Well, you know, a fellow named Mick Warner, who used to work for EQ, the company that owns the landfill over by Detroit where the high-level material would be taken, says that his company offers a process that essentially destroys the PCB molecules using bioremediation. So it's some type of bacteria, if you will, that essentially eats the PCBs and breaks it down into, separates the carbon molecule so that it makes the PCBs disappear, essentially. They no longer exist. He gave some data on some tests in other locations, albeit on smaller scales. The thing I found attractive about his proposal was that, and he used the term functional equivalent of total removal, in that if the PCBs are the problem, you know, it's the potential health hazards of the PCBs themselves. Well, if you eliminate the PCB molecule, then you've eliminated the hazard without trucking this material for, you know, a couple hundred miles down I-94 and putting it somewhere else for it to continue to be hazardous forever.
And you also then would eliminate the risk of, say, an accident on the highway or
right.
something like that.
You know, because figured into the really high cost, you know, over $180 million at last count for the total removal option, was the potential for accidents. Hauling all this material away is 1.5 million cubic yards of material. Double bottom dump trucks leaving from the Allied site for 3 or 4 years, 6 days a week. I don't know how many a day.
You know, something's insurance costs on something
right,
like that.
Something's going to potentially could happen that, you know, would be very expensive and perhaps dangerous.
So in order for the neutralization of PCB contamination to theoretically happen, what has to take place in between? What are the steps that might lead there down the road?
Well, that's it. First of all, the EPA would have to select 2D, you know, the option that's currently being considered, so that the process could then, if everything fell in place the way it should in order for this to happen, as you mentioned, the contract would have to be awarded then to the company that can do this process. So there's a couple of ifs involved there. You know, if the EPA does select 2D, the current option, and then if they do award this contract to allow this company to do the process that they claim will neutralize the PCBs, not only does then hopefully the hazardous factor of the PCBs go away, but you have a built-in developer, because part of the process is that a developer that is convinced that the process will be successful would become the owner of the property. And, of course, ownership is one of the major questions about the Allied site, because potentially, since we have a county land bank here in Kalamazoo, generally speaking, a tax foreclosed place, because, again, the cost involved in operating the toxic waste storage facility is going to last forever, and we're dealing with finite quantities of money. So it's not, you know, out of the range of possibility that one fine day the tax property becomes tax reverted. So here in Kalamazoo, that means that ultimately it would end up being owned by the county. County's not anxious to own a toxic waste dump.
I think a lot of people have the impression that the EPA is looking for the solution that they can wrap up as quickly and as neatly as possible. So would the EPA necessarily be interested in the idea of neutralizing PCB contamination, or might they say, hey, 2D keeps it in one place, we cap and monitor it, good enough, we have to move on to other contaminated properties in other parts of the country that need their own remediation plan?
That's very true, and the EPA representative that we've spoken with regarding the potential of doing the mitigation in place, not anxious to further the horizon of science. You know, it's a government agency. They have a charge to do just as you say, you know, get this done in as expedient a manner as possible. The Allied site's been on the national priorities list since 1990. And I think there's a lot of folks that think it's time to do something, including the EPA. So that might be, you know, that's one of those ifs, you know, as not only would they select this particular option, but would they allow this company to essentially experiment? Because the case studies that I've seen that they were using to show that their process worked is on a much smaller scale than what we have at the Allied site. Less material and not as concentrated as they are currently at the Allied site.
A moment ago, you mentioned the idea that there is a finite amount of money, although the EPA will say that cost is not a big factor in any of this. But back when we talked to you just a couple weeks back, you also noted that that could be a problem in terms of the idea of total removal. that the EPA could say, sure, remove all of it. But if the money isn't there, that it might never happen. Is that something that you might say to the skeptic there who is still concerned about the idea that PCB contamination would remain at the site?
Right. You know, a moment ago we said a lot of people think it's time to do something. So if the scenario you just mentioned, so the EPA says, okay, fine, we'll select total removal and we'll put it on our list of things to do. I don't know about you. I have a list. My wife provides me with a list all the time of things to do. How many of those actually get done? And certainly in a case like this where you're talking tens, hundreds of millions of dollars, that could be a very long time. Remember, it says national priorities list. So certainly the Allied site is not the only site that's competing for limited federal dollars. Can't go into the politics of why the Superfund site isn't funded anymore. It's time for another program, which I'd be glad to talk
maybe
with you
maybe
about.
Maybe we'll have to do that someday, yeah.
But the Superfund is not super any longer. There isn't any real serious money behind the Superfund. It is just money that's allotted by Congress to the EPA and their overall budget. And that priority list, you're competing with a number of sites. So if the EPA were to decide, well, yes, at the Allied site, we're going to take it all away. We listen to you, Kalamazoo, and we'll put it on our list and we'll get back to you. Don't call us, we'll call you when we have the money. So then now we're back to here with one of the critical things is people are anxious to have access to at least some of the property. You know, the Kalamazoo River Valley Trail has been held up for years. To get through that section along Portage Creek, it'd be a beautiful spot. It would link the Portage Trail system to the Kalamazoo Trail system. There's any number of good reasons why that should go through, and it's being held up by this delay at the Allied site. So, again, moving forward, and maybe not an ideal solution, but it is one potential solution that I think deserves serious consideration. We're hoping that people will give their input and find out, educate themselves about the process. You mentioned that the EPA is having some meetings at Washington School. The official public meeting for public input that will actually be recorded for the administrative record is in November at the Washington Writers School, and that is on the 19th at 6 p.m. And if people want to find out, Gordon, a little bit about, educate themselves, what's going on, if they don't happen to live within the neighborhood that we canvassed a couple of weeks ago, we contacted, I think it was 1,200 residences in the Edison and Homecrest and Millwood areas and made an effort to get people to voice their opinion and find out about what are the options at the cleanup at the Allied site. And we could also go to the city's website and just type in Allied site and kind of a record of that comes up, and there's also links to the EPA site.
One more question on cost. Should we be concerned about the ability to pay for any plan which is approved by the EPA? Because they're putting the price tag on this 2D plan at about $63 million. There's $48 million in assets from the bankruptcy settlement from the former owner of the site. So the $15 million has to come from somewhere. In terms of the federal budget, that's not necessarily a lot of money. But as you said, there are other sites out there which are also contaminated. They're also begging for federal attention. Presumably, there's also people in those communities who are making their case as to why they should get priority. Should we be concerned about any gap in funding a cleanup program for the Allied Paper site?
Well, you know, it is difficult to get the EPA to talk specifics about funding. And the example I use is a few years ago, there was a time-critical removal action on Portage Creek, and it was determined that the cost was going to be about $15 million for that particular project. And so a few memos to Washington, D.C., and the EPA found the money, and they completed the project. To give them credit where credit is due, they completed the project sooner than expected and under budget. But the fact of the matter is $11 million suddenly appeared to make the project be able to move forward. So we're not talking a huge amount of money, and as you mentioned, in terms of how these things go. So I would be concerned that we do need to find some way to fund what we say we're going to do. But it would certainly be easier, obviously, to fund, say, $63 million when you have a $48 million start than $200 million.
How important do you think this public comment period is in terms of getting the EPA to sign off on this cleanup plan? Is there the possibility that a robust public comment period might make it a little better?
You know, I'm optimistic about that, Gordon. You know, back in 2007, when our group, Kalamazoo River Cleanup Coalition, was formed, basically we opposed the EPA-approved plan to bring hundreds of thousands of cubic yards of PCB-contaminated material to the Allied site. They were cleaning up a spot in Plainwell. And, you know, most people thought, well, we didn't have any chance at all because the EPA does what the EPA does. But actually, we were successful. It took about 6 weeks and some political pressure from our representatives. Fred Upton was involved in that as well. And we actually were able to change their plan. They went back to the responsible parties, got more money, and disposed of the material properly in approved landfills rather than bringing it here to the Allied site. Since then, I'd like to say we've elbowed our way to the negotiating table, you know, because we've had such public support from people in Kalamazoo and the administration of the government of the city of Kalamazoo. I think this would have been done actually a long time ago and not to our liking had it not been for the public intervention, political pressure, public demonstrations, and public comments that were provided. That has, I think, changed the course of the negotiations and given us a better opportunity and potentially a better result than had we not participated at all, if the EPA would have just done what they were going to do.
Gary Wager, thank you for your time.
Thank you, Gordon.
Gary Wager is Executive Director of the Kalamazoo River Cleanup Coalition. A public meeting will be hosted by the Environmental Protection Agency on November 19th at 6 o'clock at the Washington Writers Academy on Portage Street to discuss their plan for cleaning up the Allied Paper landfill site. There are also community roundtable events this Thursday, October 15th, at the Washington Writers Academy, and again on Thursday, October 22nd at the Hispanic American Council. You can find links with more details on those events at WMUK.org.